On this episode of Marketing Mavericks, we talk about LinkedIn, HR, resumes, and what your social footprint is really saying about you.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Marketing Mavericks is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Marketing Mavericks is brought to you by FreshBooks, the number one cloud accounting solution that helps millions of entrepreneurs and small business owners save time billing and get paid faster. Try it for free at FreshBooks.com/MM and join over 5 million users running their business hassle-free. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Now introducing Squarespace 7 with even better site management tools and other improvements. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MM. This is Marketing Mavericks, episode 32, recorded Thursday, November 20th. 2014, self-branding and getting hired. Welcome to Marketing Mavericks, where we talk about everything at the intersection of technology and marketing. I'm your host, Tanya Hall, and I'm going to coast down the road of the intersection of actually technology and human resources. How are you marketing yourself to get a job, and how are businesses and brands marketing themselves to actually get the right talent? How are they using the web? What software tools are out there? How has the landscape changed? Maybe you haven't looked for a job in a while. If you haven't, it's actually a lot different than it used to be, and it's changing more and more every day. We've got two experts in the field, but before we do, I want to also welcome our technical director, Anthony Nielsen.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, Anthony, I have neglected introducing you on every show. Here we are, episode 32, finally,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony controls everything. He is the boss of me for the show. So anyway, our guest today, Jessica Miller Merrill, is here. She is the founder and chief blogger at Blogging for Jobs. Your Twitter is also at blogging, the number 4, jobs. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
And our second guest who's joining us for the first time is Rayanne Thorne. She is the CMO and CSO of HR Latte, is that right?
HR Latte is my talk show that I do. So I'm a competitor, sort of.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, you know, not really. There's plenty of room in this space. And I know, Jessica, you've been doing this. You've certainly been in HR for a long time, but you've actually been on the speaking front and training and blogging and show hosting yourself for a long time. How long have you been doing this?
I have been blogging for 7 years, which is a little crazy, but I am a specialist in the HR and recruiting and kind of the job space. So do a lot of the marketing things that you do and are familiar with and many of your viewers are, but for a really niche siloed community.
And you do a great job, by the way. I've had you on my show in the past before TWiT many times. So glad to have you here at the Brick House for this show. And our next, Raylan. So it's Rayanne.
Rayanne, yeah. You can call me Rayanne, Roxanne, Renee, Roylene, Rochelle.
Ray.
No. I get called Ray. I'm going to open a bar someday called Ray Ray's, so...
That's a cool name. So you've been doing, we just met actually and learned
yes,
about what you're doing. And you have been in the space. You gave me we had quite a great conversation this morning about your background, and there's no way I could probably get through all of it, but you literally have not only been at the forefront of the space of HR and hiring, you work with a lot of startups. You've worked with a lot of startups in the past, and you work with software companies. You're really in the trenches, and you mentioned you have your own show as well.
I do. I have a show called HR Latte, and it's a blog talk radio, which I love because it's on demand. So the majority of our listens come via search. So when somebody's looking for, oh, there I am. Look at that. I love it. And I do a variety of shows talking from anywhere from HR services and practices and processes to technologies that support that, as well as hiring and recruiting. So it's been a great deal of fun. This is my fifth show I think I've done. So all in all, I have about 220 shows under my belt, and I'm not going to stop. It's one of my favorite types of, I'm going to call it marketing, content marketing. It's one of my favorite types.
It is fun. It's kind of addictive. I mean, I think I told you this morning, I started on an AM station on a Saturday morning. I walked in to, it was a Citadel Broadcasting at the time. And I said, I just was so excited about this evolution of social media, which I didn't even like the term then. It stuck, obviously. And they realized that fortunately the general manager was had great mind in realizing this was going to be something to catch on. And so anyway, I walked
in
with
that. It's interesting that you call it that, because when I first started teaching companies how to use social for marketing or for hiring, I had to call it new media. Because they didn't want to hear anything that had to do with social. They assumed that if it was social or social media, it was fun and not work.
Ah, well, it is fun and it is work. But it know what? If you're doing the best job, if you're doing something that's fun, I say.
Absolutely.
But back in those days, I even walked in. I didn't even have a headset. Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I just showed up. No broadcasting degree.
Here I am.
Here I am. And here, and you know what? That's what you know, some people do when they show up for a job. Lots has changed. This is a conversation that, you know, I don't know that we'll get it quite covered in an hour, but there's so much just from the standpoint of businesses that are trying to hire talent, to the employee who may be looking for a job, whether it's just out of college, which is a completely different issue, versus somebody who's been in a job for a while and now maybe they're looking at a career change, maybe they have to relocate, maybe the company that they work for is making it so that they need to find a new job. And it is a completely different landscape than it was when I first started working, where you literally, typed up your resume, 2 pages at the most, and you turned it in to somebody and you hoped that they would call you. It's so different today. And I think it's also different for different industries. You know, I want to drill down on kind of what it's like for the tech industry and looking for jobs in that space versus traditional, and how much we've grown even just in the last year and what tools are out there. So I guess I want to start with candidates today that are looking for a job. How has it changed from, I don't want to say like 10 years ago, because we know that, you know, they're using social media and that sort of thing to help people find jobs. So what's the first step that somebody takes today who maybe has actually been in a traditional job, maybe not in the tech industry, and maybe they're just medium savvy. They're on Facebook. Maybe they have a Twitter account. They're using LinkedIn to some extent. So they're somewhat savvy. What do they need to know first when they start the job search?
I think one of the first things they need to know is that it has changed, and that when you submit a resume, either through an email attached to an email or through an applicant tracking system or through a job board, that chances are it's going to get lost in that mix if they have not created a resume or profile that fits the job description or the job posting that they're applying to. What we're finding today is the candidate black hole is alive and well because software has created a gate, a whole new gatekeeper. It's no longer, resumes are no longer reviewed by a live person, by a live recruiter, by a live hiring manager. They are first reviewed and mostly found wanting by a type of technology that is scanning through either a profile, a LinkedIn profile, or some other type of professional profile, whether it's on a job board or some other forum, as well as resumes that are uploaded and looking specifically for those keywords. And if those keywords are not on that resume or profile, that there's a good chance that that resume and application is going to be dumped and not even reviewed by human eyes. So it's really important for job seekers to recognize that they need to align their resume and their profile with the type of job and the industry that they want to get.
Well, you know, I have a big issue with those, with the websites that you have to go, you don't actually submit a real resume that you've written. You actually have to fill out some sort of form. And it's like this
sure.
gigantic wall of information that you feel like you can't really describe what you're, you know, going to bring to that organization. And many times, to your point, you're screened out before you can even contact somebody in recruiting or HR because they have this filter. I mean, are those really successful? Do those work for businesses?
Sometimes they do. And they can become more successful if the recruiter is more involved and is actively updating and following through with what the applicant tracking system is looking for. There are many times that the software itself is parsing the job description and looking for keywords instead of a real life human being selecting those keywords that are important to find in the application or the resume or the profile that's being submitted.
Reverb Mike in the chat room is talking about the different versions of a resume that somebody might have. And we all probably have some that maybe describe one area of our expertise more than another. What would you say, Jessica, how many resumes is really realistic that you might need for when you're out searching for a job?
I believe that you should customize the resume for every single opening because what everybody's looking for, the skills that you offer that are unique to you, that requires a unique document or a unique marketing campaign. I will also say that why I think resumes are important, there are many companies and people that are hired as that you don't even get to the resume. Like the resume is a later formality. And I think that while technology, the traditional hiring process where we submit a resume is important, I also think that relationships with key people, and that can happen through social media or in-person networking and establishing just kind of a conversation with a recruiter or a potential hiring manager. And then when they have an opening, they're going to think of you first before they do anything else. And that is really key. So kind of going beyond just the standard resume.
Is the resume that 2-page document that I was told when I, you know, 1 page if you can do it, and which is impossible, and 2 pages. I mean, like, is that still a thing? Do people actually still give those resumes to people?
They do.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say have one ready, and you do want to customize it unique to the specific job opening, whether you use a spreadsheet or there's software that exists to help you manage who you've applied to, what resume that you used. All these kind of things are important. But in my mind, what's more important is showcasing and building those relationships before the opening happens. And maybe that's with 7 to 10 companies that you've identified that you would like to work for and start building those relationships from there.
And to your point, Tanya, the last 4 or 5 job offers I've received, I never submitted a resume. So adding on to Jessica's point about relationships, it's very valuable today to build your network, to connect with people that are at organizations where you would like to work eventually in the future, and then maintain those relationships by continually branding yourself, but also building out that network. So one thing that I often suggest, I just did a series of mock interviews with high school students, whether they were getting ready to do college entrance interviews or job interviews, I suggested that they create a LinkedIn profile. Yes, they're very young, but this is typically where recruiters and hiring managers go today, is to look through social. They can create a professional profile online where they can connect with individuals that maybe work at the organizations or are professors at the school that they want to go to, and start to begin building that network that will be key for the future for them, for either getting into the right school or getting the right job.
I want to talk about the footprint of people today and what's like in social media. I also want to talk about some of the software that people are using and LinkedIn as a tool. I want to get to all that. Before I do, I want to thank one of our sponsors of Marketing Mavericks, which is FreshBooks. Get a fresh start for 2015 with FreshBooks, the easy way to invoice clients organize expenses and track your time. With FreshBooks award-winning mobile apps, you can do it all from anywhere on your Android or iOS device. Create invoices online in mere minutes, snap photos of receipts right from your phone, and get real-time business reports in just two clicks. If you knew about FreshBooks when you were getting started, you probably would feel like I do. I could have saved so much time if I knew about FreshBooks, trying to keep all kinds of records. It's a ton of headaches. On average, FreshBooks customers double their revenue in the first 24 months, get paid an average of 5 days faster. That's pretty quick. Easily accept credit cards and other online payments. FreshBooks integrates with your apps, MailChimp, PayPal, Google Apps, and more. Tina Roth Eisenberg, founder of Creative Mornings, SwissMiss.com, says, FreshBooks not only makes me look professional, it saves me a huge amount of time. Try FreshBooks for free for 30 days with no obligation. Go to FreshBooks.com/MM and enter Marketing Mavericks in the How did you hear about us section when signing up? Start your 30-day free trial today. Go to FreshBooks.com/MM. And don't forget to enter Marketing Mavericks in the How did you hear about us section. And we want to thank FreshBooks for their support of Marketing Mavericks. And I do mean, if I had FreshBooks, my life would have been so much simpler. Software in general makes our life simpler. And we're talking about how it can make it simpler for recruiters and it can be simpler for the person applying for a job. Ran, you mentioned earlier LinkedIn and as being a tool. And I think LinkedIn is a huge resource. And I remember the first time I actually put LinkedIn on a job resume, one person was like, wow, that's pretty big. It was early on. I mean, in fact, most people that I ended up working with were kind of afraid of LinkedIn and they thought somebody was spamming them every time they got a LinkedIn invite. A lot has changed and we see a lot of people on LinkedIn today. How much of a part does LinkedIn play in actually someone getting hired today? Is it, you know, a 10% part of the job? Is it, like, if you're not on LinkedIn, you're not going to get hired? How big of a part does LinkedIn play?
I believe it depends on the industry that you're in, right? So a house painter probably doesn't have a LinkedIn profile unless he owns his own business. So it really depends on the industry. Many of the in the trenches, I love that phrase, in the trench programmers, probably don't have a LinkedIn profile, but they might have a profile on Dice or some other network that's specifically for engineers or techies. And it's vital, though, that if you do have a LinkedIn profile, that you continually update it. LinkedIn has made it very easy for users to personally brand themselves by adding content and by adding videos or by adding relationships. The endorsements and the recommendations are a big part of what's going on at LinkedIn. There are a lot of people in my space that complain about LinkedIn, but those same people would be hard-pressed if LinkedIn went down tomorrow and they were unable to access it to do their job, to hire, to review, to connect, to network. And it's not only used to hire, it's used to connect with partners. It's used to find clients. It's used for sales. LinkedIn has done very well for themselves in building out their platform to be used for multiple ways. It's I don't even believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I don't believe that when it first launched that it was intended to be a place for recruiting. But that is certainly where recruiters headed to as soon as they could. That's where I headed 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whenever I started my LinkedIn profile. It was right there using it. And one of the first places that I went to review candidates when they would pop into my inbox.
There are so many sites out there, though, and it's really difficult to kind of navigate as a person looking for a job where to go. You know, do you go to, you know, like Microsoft, for example, with all of the jobs they have on their own site, but then you have, you know, LinkedIn, which also has jobs. You've got Monster, you've got Career Builder and Dice and so many others. How does a candidate navigate where to go to find certain types of jobs or maybe the most recent jobs that are being posted. It seems like sometimes those sites also have very old links and the jobs actually are no longer available.
I would say that setting up like an RSS feed by keyword within the career site would be something that I would do, or building a Yahoo pipe, like if I'm going to get a little old school here, by keyword, and then delivering those messages to me, maybe via IFT or via email, or I get a lot of stuff via text message. So if you really want a job opening or you want to try to connect with a recruiter at that company, you should rely on the career site, since it's probably the most relevant information. I consider the career site to kind of be the center of your recruiting and HR universe. So if you think about it, it's the sun, and then all these other tools, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, they all revolve around that, with the end game of pushing candidates directly to the career site where they join a talent network or they apply for a specific opening.
And it's important to remember that a job search is a full-time job.
So many people
think that they can just hop onto a career site or onto a job board and submit a couple of resumes or a couple of applications and think that, oh, my inbox is going to be full tomorrow morning because everybody will want me to come and work for them. It's very valuable to consider that recruiters are bombarded incessantly by applicants and job seekers that probably aren't all qualified for the job. And so one thing that recruiters are looking for and hiring managers are looking for with the use of software is to help them filter those candidates that come in. And that's part of the problem, right? It's the unfortunate part of HR technology and recruiting technology and softwares like this is that they were created to solve a problem, but often they create other problems that come with it, like missing out on that perfect candidate because they didn't have the exact right keywords in place.
It's funny. Go ahead, Jessica.
I was just going to say that I think you need to think about the hiring process just like you would a marketing funnel. Since this is Marketing Mavericks, let's think about marketing. And so recruiters take the number of candidates and they use the technology or the interview process or the keywords in the resume, whatever, as sort of a funneling tool so they can find the most qualified person for the job that fits the criteria the company and the hiring manager give them. Think about that when you're building your own personal marketing campaign for your job. And how are you going to go from that really large prospect of maybe 700 people for a single opening? What steps are you going to take as a marketer for yourself and help stand out as the funnel, really starts to become smaller and smaller, and then you're up against maybe three or five people or two people in the end. It's a marketing game. It really is. Hopefully you have the right qualifications for the job, but at the end of the day, it's a marketing and sales cycle, really.
It's funny, Rayanne, you actually shared a video with me earlier about this guy. And I guess my question is going to be from this video is, how do you know when it's time to find a job? I mean, so many people stay in the same job for way too long. And what are the buying sides? In fact, let's show that video, Anthony. It's funny to watch, but for those people who can't see it right now, it's they go from one office and they go around the wall to the second. The first office is basically like a mounted moose head, and then you go around to the other guy who's sitting on the other side of the wall, and he's sitting at a desk with a moose butt in his face, which is kind of funny to watch. Anyway, that was on BuzzFeed, right? I don't know. So if somebody wants to look it up, we're going to have that in our show notes. But it is that idea that people will sit and put up with a job that isn't right for them, that maybe they just don't know how to market themselves. What's kind of the sign that people need to, or the question people need to maybe ask themselves to push them to that point where
are you slowly dying inside? if you feel rigor mortis start to set in, then it might be time to look for a new job. Look, all of us go through cycles in our life where we feel like we are unappreciated or underused, right? Or overwhelmed in our current roles. And this is why Jessica and I both have suggested the marketing side of it. Continually brand yourself, continually network. There should be no one today, if they find themselves in a place where they think, I need to start looking for a job, there should be no one today that doesn't have a network that they can turn to. When I first was offered a position completely out of the blue, I wasn't really looking for a job. It just came along, and it was a great next job for me. And I made the announcement on LinkedIn by updating my profile, right? And I had three or four people contact me after that announcement went up and they received notification or saw that I had moved on, that said, I didn't even know you were looking for a job. If I'd known you were looking for a job, I would have, I would have referred you to my company. The number one source of hire today is still, even with all of the incredible technologies that are out there, is still referral, inside referral, employee referral. So if there is somebody that you know that works for a company that you would like to work for, you need to stay connected with them. You need to ask them, hey, what's the best way for me to apply for a job for your organization? Do you know somebody in the hiring department? Do you know somebody there that's hiring? Can you introduce me? This is still the number one source of hire. And then the interesting flip side of that is if your friend who works at the organization doesn't think that you're quality, he's not going to refer you, right? If we value where we work, we're a little bit more, we think a little bit more about how are we going to bring people into the organization? Who are we going to refer? Even when there's these great referral programs and we can get bonuses based on hires that we bring in, we want our company to stay a good company. Yep. And a lot of times we don't want our friends to come work where we're working.
You know, one of the points that was made in the chat room, which is actually something I wanted to talk about, which is that recruiters are, misspelling words, a computer, the person actually placing so there's two parts of this. One part is that the people that are actually doing the hiring are illiterate. They can't write, they can't spell, they use the wrong grammar, and it's really horrible. So, and they don't know how to use social media. But then you have young candidates, right, who are also not using, it's not that they're illiterate. They just have changed the way that they speak. And I think Twitter is part to blame for some of that. I'm guilty, certainly, from time to time.
Instagram, hashtagging. All of social. And also the fact that they have a mobile device in their hand all the time and their face is buried in that. So there has been a new generation that's come forth that maybe has become literate in a different way. Right. But they are lacking in those social skills, the real social skills of looking in the face, of being able to have a firm handshake, of not fidgeting during a job interview, of understanding what it's like, what presentation is really like. It's more than just showing up. It's more than just putting on a skirt if you're a female or struggling through tying a tie. We talked about this earlier, Tanya, about the nightmare that business clothing still is today, right? And yet it's a tradition, it's an expectation. And why would you not go as far forward as you can in presenting yourself the best way possible if you want a job? It's an interesting generation that we have right now, the next gen workforce that's looking for work.
And I want to know how are software companies scanning through the language that's changed. I mean, I think we expected the language to be, what it was maybe 10 years ago, but today people don't talk the same way. And so they could potentially be being screened out, right? Are we adjusting for millennials in this case?
Hopefully. I mean, it really, even though you have the technology that exists that is screening and pulling keywords from resumes and LinkedIn profiles and trying to match people to different openings, at the end of the day, the recruiter or the talent acquisition team at an organization who is charged with filling these roles is responsible for inputting that information in, typically. Or there is a programmer that is developing the software that we would purchase as recruiters that is making assumptions based on keywords. One company that has been acquired by LinkedIn last year was Bright.com, and Bright had a score, and it was called the Bright score. So they would pull information based on keywords and give you a score, which would tell you how qualified you were for a certain job. And recruiters would look at that and say, oh, okay, they have a 65. That sounds like somebody that I might be interested in. But the other thing that was interesting about the Bright score is the way the algorithm was built is that it is suggesting keywords and different jobs that you might consider based on your patterns and the information that you've shared that you might not have considered before. So the algorithms hopefully are getting smarter, but at the end of the day, the recruiters, unfortunately, are in control of the hiring process. So as job seekers, we should be doing the research and really taking the time to understand that if I am looking for maybe an inside sales job, it might also be called a business development manager, right, or something else.
You know,
and currently there isn't there is a new software that's out called Talent Browser that's actually basing those algorithms on thesaurus, on language engineering instead of exact keywords. It's searching based on thesaurus or like words or synonyms of a word. And that revolutionizes search. We aren't only depending upon keyword or Boolean search. We actually have an opportunity to find candidates that maybe are already in our database that where they're stored. A lot of times companies are going back out and just searching on the internet or posting jobs again for roles that they have a whole database full of candidates already there that they've already previously sourced and spent the money to find and are now housing them. But nobody can really do a good search within that database. So there are these new softwares that are coming out that take advantage of the big data mindset that has come out. Do you like my, I keep doing this.
I know, I do that all the time. Nobody can see she's doing the quote signs. Allegedly, that's her calling.
Good to know. See, I didn't know that I used that so much. Now I'm like totally conscious of it. So, but it's good to know that there are softwares being developed that will take advantage of the work that's already been done.
So, you know, this has been brought up in the chat room as well, and I think this is a really good point. You've mentioned Instagram. You mentioned, you know, the types of content that we're putting out there, and pictures is a part of that. Certainly, photos that we're taking. People don't quite understand their privacy settings, or maybe they just don't care. And so people that you might not want to see your content are seeing your content, because maybe a friend of a friend or another connection is, somehow it's showing up. Or maybe the hiring manager just wants to do a search and they search for the stuff. And so they're going to find it. How are people avoiding being discriminated against? Maybe because someone is judging them.
They can't. And this is something that I talk about on a regular basis whenever I speak to organizations. The role of a recruiter is to be at the very base of their job, is to decide who gets a job and who doesn't get a job, right? And so that is, at its very basic part of it, is called discrimination, right? Anybody who doesn't get that job is going to feel discriminated against, right? And what I try to talk to job seekers and candidates about, either through writing or through presentations or on my various talk shows, is you have the responsibility to present yourself the best way possible. And whatever you push out on social media or through the internet is going to be accessible by somebody, right? We can do a screenshot. Somebody can take a snapshot from a Snapchat and submit it to anybody that they want and share it with anybody they want. Nothing is private unless you are comfortable with your priest, your rabbi, your mother, your grandmother, the president of the United States seeing what you put on social media. Go ahead and put it. But if you're not comfortable with that, if you're not comfortable seeing what you put on the front page of a newspaper or of the Huffington Post, you better not be posting it. You should not put anything up that could undermine or create a less than appropriate image of you. You are your own marketing maven. And if you don't take care of that, you're going to fail at your job search.
And I think what people may not realize, and it's unfortunate in some cases, is that once you put it out there, even if you delete it, it's still there somewhere. And
it's a footprint. It's out there. It's not. Look, it's not Vegas.
Let's talk about.
I have an ongoing list of people who've been fired from their activities on social media, yeah. And really, there's a couple in the news that happen every day, and a lot of them are photos. Always. So recruiters are looking, HR people are looking, hiring managers are looking at your activities on social media. Just understand that it's happening and either clean up your act or go decide to work somewhere else that's okay with those kinds of activities.
It used to be you could walk into a Borders, right? And anybody could get a job at a Borders or in the bookstores that are in the malls or in the strip malls. But it's not that way anymore. Right. You have the responsibility to create a professional social presence. And if you don't take that responsibility seriously, how is somebody who's hiring going to think that you will take coming to work for them seriously?
What about people that are posting content about you that you don't have any control over? And this is a big discussion right now in the chat room. And I think this is a really good point, is somebody could be posting information and using, you know, your name, even if you don't allow them to tag it to your own social sites. They could be just really putting some bad stuff out there that could prevent you from getting hired and you had no control over it.
So set up a Google alert. I mean, this would be no.
You can't get it taken down. I mean, it's going to be there.
Well, I mean, if you're in Germany, you can. I mean, there's new laws that have been passed called the right to be forgotten, where you actually do have the option to have a completely blank slate and erase everything on the internet and start over. But it's just like, think about it from a company perspective. So let's say that there is a defamatory article that comes out or that makes some wild allegations about your company. As a marketing person or a PR person, what you're going to do and what you should do is flood the internet with good feeling stories and content and links and create a bazillion social media accounts, because the average person is not going to go more than 4 pages, if that, on the search results. And they're not going to see that bad stuff.
And what's
control
been seen?
What you can control, right? This is what I've told a lot. I've been presenting about how to use social media to hire, how to use social media to market your business with small businesses for years. And one of the first lessons that I taught them was control what's out there. The more that you put out there, the more that is being seen by what you have created, not by what somebody else has created. Because I guarantee there will be things out there. I mean, Yelp, Glassdoor, all of these sites that allow for the user to go in and create either a profile or leave a review of what they've experienced can possibly discredit you either as an employee or as an employer, right? Or as a job seeker or as just somebody out there on social.
If you take a look at Rayanne or I's social media activity or you Google us, you're going to see thousands of tweets. I mean, 80,000 tweets. You're going to see 3,000 or 4,000 blog posts. So we are flooding the internet with content that we can control and situations and topics that we are passionate about or that are.
Seems like we lost Jessica.
I think we lost.
Yeah.
Jessica, what? What was that thought?
What? Well, that was great too.
I know she was going on a great tangent. We'll be trying to get her back. But I will say, what's been seen can't be unseen. And once you put it there, it, even if you delete it, it's really difficult to somebody
You can't control what other people are doing, right? As an example, I was doing some work. I did a presentation in Las Vegas for a group of individuals that worked in nursing homes. So it was a very specific industry. And one of the individuals stood up and said, "Can you help us? Here's what's going on. We have a group of employees that when they leave work, they're going on to Yelp and leaving horrible comments about our CEO. So we sat down and figured out what was going on. Why were they leaving these comments, right? Because it was having an impact on the residents and the people that were looking to see if they should bring their family members to come and dwell in this nursing home, right? And that's something very obscure that you would not think was going on. The problem was that the employees were not being treated well, right? That's the overarching problem. It wasn't that the employees were being bad and leaving bad information. It was that the employees that were working in a specific department were not being managed well, were not being treated well. And so that was their only recourse, right? So what was the responsibility of the nursing home? Was it to try and bury it, or was it to address the issue that was going on? People can get away with less and less and less because of social, because we each have a voice now and the opportunity to make that voice heard.
So I want to toss to this video about, so once you actually get in the door and you actually get an interview, are people really telling the truth, and how do you filter past that? Hey, Anthony, play that video.
All right, let's get this over with. Have a seat. Don't get too comfortable, though. You're never going to see this office ever again.
Oh, I'm going to talk as white as I can during this interview.
My smile has gotten me through everything in life, so I'm just going to be smiling a lot.
You didn't happen to bring a piece of paper with a surface-level description of what you do on it.
I made this in college, and it's just covered in lies.
It was a template from online. If you could just not read that.
No, Bridgestone Real Estate does not exist. I saw it on a coffee mug and put it on my resume.
Yeah, I'm not actually reading this. It's just a bull. Formality. Start by giving you a vague description of what this job entails.
I'll listen poorly.
Yeah, that's going to help me realize it's never going to work out.
Now, it's a funny video, and it kind of goes on and on. I won't play the whole thing,
it's
only because it really describes this process of if people were really honest in their interviews. And I think people aren't completely honest, not only in the interview process, but the kind of information that they're putting out there online. How are we verifying that today? How are we verifying that what we're seeing is real? I mean, it seems like it would be easier to do that today. It would be easier to say, yeah, you really didn't work at this company, or you really didn't do these things, right?
I think that we're seeing more and more people get caught in lies. You know, there's plenty of examples of large companies where the head of that company fudged a little bit on his resume, on maybe on his LinkedIn profile, and they have been called out because of that, and I can't understand that, because for me, the success that I found has come from being completely open and real about who I am. For years, the recruitment industry has talked about authenticity and transparency, right? Being real, being yourself. And that's how you can get through the door. Now we're seeing it projected onto hiring organizations, where when we talk about employment brand, how truthful is the employment brand? Companies talk about what a great place they are to work, but are they really? And that's where organizations like Glassdoor, where employees can go in and leave comments and review where they've worked, or the type of organization that it was, the type of leadership that they were exposed to. It's I think it's a little bit less likely now, and maybe I'm being naive, but I really don't think people are going to be able to get away with that kind of lying anymore. Recently in town, we had a politician that was called out completely. He had put on his resume that he was had attended a certain university, and after a little research, it was discovered that he had not.
Well, and it wouldn't take much research today. There's so many ways to verify things. In fact, I actually want to think about maybe having your own blog is not a bad idea, like you ladies have done.
Not
you have created
idea.
Your own online footprint, or maybe your own website, which is where I want to get to another sponsor of Marketing Maverick, which is Squarespace. So Squarespace 7 has just been introduced and makes getting started with your unique web presence easier. It's now more all-in-one and simpler to navigate and operate in one seamless experience. Squarespace 7 allows you to live edit on one screen, instant access to professional stock photography from Getty. Squarespace allows direct purchase inside the platform, which was not there before. Getty Images and just $10 each for your site. Instant branded email setup with Google Apps. Working with musicians and artists and architects and chefs, Squarespace has designed a category-specific templates that cater to the site requirements for your industry groups. Develop a platform out of beta, and now you can customize your site exactly as you wish. If you are a developer, you will have access to the same platform that Squarespace uses for its own site for complete code control. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Note and blog apps are now on Android too. Start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use offer code MM to get 10% off and to show your support of Marketing Mavericks. And to begin using Squarespace 7, existing customers go to the Settings tab to activate all the new features. We thank Squarespace for their support of Marketing Mavericks. A better web awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace website. Thank you so much, Squarespace, for sponsoring our show. And it is a great idea and has been for many years to actually have your own site, something that tells your story. We just got out of a conversation where we were talking about people talking about you. And I think, you know, those people who aren't using the web, who aren't using social media, who don't have their own site, are letting other people talk for them. So if you have something to say about what you do and who you are, you actually need to have your own platform to do that. And I think having a website is a great idea. You started your blog when, Jessica?
2007, a long time ago, 4,000 blog posts later.
A long, long time ago, 2007 was.
A long time ago.
It feels like blogging.
I started blogging on MySpace probably 11, 12 years ago, however long they've been around. When as soon as I saw that I could write something and people were interested in what I had to say, you know, they were liking or commenting, I thought, oh, this is interesting. Maybe I should look into this online writing thing.
What is this? What is this social media thing exactly. that people are doing, these young social kids, media. Right? You know, we're talking about kids, we're talking about the interview, and we're talking about authenticity. And, you know, there are software companies out there that actually help people who are not maybe as savvy about how to find the right candidates on social media. What are some of the best tools for HR people who maybe aren't as geeky as we are, and they're trying to figure out how to find talent besides just using some of the traditional sites that are out there? What are some of the tools that you guys recommend to your clients, or you recommend to people who are trying to find easy ways to do this?
I will say that I think you need to start with your career site and take a look at that to see what the experience is like for employees or candidates to actually apply for a job opening. Oftentimes you lose 90% or more of the people who actually visit your career site. Now, that isn't always a bad thing. However, we keep having the same problem over and over again where we need to fill these roles 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the road. So putting together what I call a talent network, it's basically kind of an interactive sort of like Facebook community where candidates can join and recruiters can get to know them. Information is updated, and then candidates, as they get experience, they are updating their resume and interacting with the recruiter or the company. One of the companies that I recommend in the product is called Talent Circles, and they call themselves a talent network. So that would be one that I would recommend starting with, and it can interact right with your career site, which is nice.
I like to talk to organizations about how they're tracking what's being put out. And a new company that launched not too long ago is called Q Social, where organizations can actually track their social messaging. How is it being picked up? How is it being shared? Is it having impact? Right? We talk so much about measuring data, about analytics, about metrics, right? And there are lots of softwares out there that have this capability. And it's been a long time coming where people have said, I wonder if we can really measure social. Can we really measure social media activity? And this company has come a long way in helping to answer that question. So I would really recommend that organizations look into tools like Q Social, like Talent Circles, to take advantage of the impact that they're already having and really understand, do I need to, you know, and other companies like Broadbean Technology or companies that push out job postings can tell you, is this job posting working? Are you getting the most qualified candidates because of that job posting? What's the best time of day to post jobs for this particular job? what's the best time of the week? Is there a better day of the week? You know, there are different days that are better for posting jobs. They used to call it Suicide Tuesday because people would come back to work on Monday, ready to hit the week again, thinking, hey, this job's going to be better. By the time Tuesday afternoon rolls around, they're thinking, yeah, the job isn't better. The weekend didn't help. Monday was a bitch. And so this afternoon, I need to start looking for a job. So when is the best time for you to post jobs at your organization? If you're not really looking into the software that you already have in place, and this happens so often, organizations spend a lot of money on software.
What kind of money
a lot
are we talking about? Like, what kind of dollar figure is as average?
I mean, it's millions. Yeah, it's millions.
So
big organizations,
let me just say,
millions.
There's a small company that I've been talking with this week. They're based out of Canada, 750 employees. They are prepared to spend for three new pieces of technology. It's like an assessment, like review process, a new applicant tracking system, and some sort of sourcing mechanism or onboarding platform. I mean, $50,000 for the year. And they're a small nonprofit.
Per year.
So
per year.
I mean, right. The HR technology industry right now, this year, is $15 billion. So that's how much money is HR and recruiting teams and organizations are spending globally this year on HR software systems. Not all of them are hiring and recruiting related, but in some form that money is going in or coming out of the organization and being invested in that software.
And Jessica and I travel around the country and speak to HR professionals on a regular basis. I mean, I think I had 12 or 14 speaking engagements this last year where I sat and talked with organizations, whether they were the major organizations or they were a chamber of commerce meeting, a local chamber of commerce meeting, and talked to them about, are you really utilizing every aspect of the software that you have already spent a ton of money on? And the answer is no. And the biggest reason is because it's hard to use, right? So HR technology companies have to really start thinking about how can we make sure that our users, that those folks that have invested in our company, really have the best access to the tool that we're providing, that it is really helping them, and that we've trained them, and that we give them updates whenever we update our software. Are they really being trained? Is the user experience valuable? Are they going to refer us to their friends, our software to their friends? Right. And there's a big gap between HR tech, recruiting technology, softwares that are out there helping companies to hire and retain talent, and the folks that are using that technology. It's a huge gap.
There is so much that we haven't even gotten to in this talk, and there's so many areas that we could discuss, and we're going to make a part two of this for sure. But one of the questions that I have, and businesses struggle with this in a traditional marketing way, is the idea, do they need an app? Do they need some sort of mobile ready device to hire candidates? And so many people are connected now, not on traditional computers. They're using their mobile device more and more as their computer. How important is it for candidates, A, to understand how to use that, and B, for businesses to realize that you're going to hire the best talent because they're savvy, they're using their mobile device to do everything. How important is that?
Jessica and I have done probably, how many, Jessica? Six different webinars at least over the last 2.5 years about mobile, using mobile to hire. And if you think that you don't have a mobile strategy, you're wrong. If you're sending an email and expecting somebody to pick it up on a laptop or on a regular PC, that is not going to happen. The majority of people, 85% of emails are read on a mobile device. So are you looking at that? Are you seeing how the emails you're sending out, are they rendering well on a mobile device? Are they jumbled in pictures that aren't coming up or that are blocked out? What type of message are you sending your branding? What type of employment branding is being sent out in a simple email? Have you listened to your own voicemail as a hiring professional? Have you called in from a mobile device and listened in to the process? Have you tried to get through the system at your organization? Those are two basic things that have nothing to do with high technology today in recruitment. And that's where the majority of the organizations fail. They fail at emails and they fail at phone calls.
I got to tell you.
Those are two basic things.
Rhian, you and I were talking about this earlier. I don't know how you feel about this, Jessica, but I don't check my voicemail very often. I don't. So, I'm bad. I know, but I haven't done that for years. And I can't seem to train myself to want to check voicemail on even a daily basis, which is bad. But people text me. The people that I really do business with, the people I want to talk to, my contacts, they email me if it's long form, or they text me if it's immediate. I mean, is that normal business practice today for hiring, especially?
96% of text messages are read within 7 minutes, let me just say. And so earlier this year, I made the decision to put on my voicemail message, "Hi, this is Jessica. I don't check voicemail. Please text me or email me at this email address and I will get back with you, because I don't listen." So that's what my voicemail says. And, you know, if you're looking for a job, it's different. But most people that I interact with are over the internet or online, or I've met them in some place, maybe in a personal environment, or they're readers of the blog or something. But I've set the expectation. You do need to think about how your employees are interacting. So maybe if you're communicating to your job seekers, you're going to send them a short text message to their phone just to confirm the interview. There are a lot of different things that you can do, but I got my my iPhone 6 Plus. Actually, I'm loving it. It's humongous, but I do not have to carry around an iPad with my MacBook Air. So I'm saving like a pound or two for sure.
Although you did add weight to that phone there. Although it is pretty light. I admire them from afar. I'm not ready yet. So.
No more pinch and zoom. It's nice.
There's a pinch and zoom.
Yeah, no more pensions.
Tanya, we use that as a phrase that this is not a recruiting strategy. Pension Zoom is not a mobile recruiting strategy.
I don't know what it is, but it sounds something
interesting. So when you open a picture bigger by pinching and zooming, right? So if companies want to really have an impact on the next gen workforce right now, there are a couple of things that Jessica and I have suggested in the past, either in our blog posts that we've written or in webinars that we've done or presentations that we've done. Have a presence in social media. Social and mobile go hand in hand. You can't even talk about social without talking about mobile, and vice versa. They go hand in hand. We walk around and check. I think it's 82% of all people on Facebook access it through mobile. Right. So have a presence on social media, and you can determine if you want 3 social channels or do you want 6? My company has a presence on MySpace. We have a presence on Snapchat. We have a presence on Instagram. All you have to do is Google who are some great organizations that have a hiring presence or an employment branding presence on social, and you'll come up with some great companies. Some that we mentioned earlier, Taco Bell, Starbucks, right, have great social channels. Also, be truthful about that employment brand. Be honest and truthful about what you're representing. You cannot expect somebody to come in for an interview just believing everything that you say. So make sure that what you're sharing is true. And then you're going to really filter that process. You're going to give an opportunity for job seekers to look and say, you know what? I don't really like that, so I'm not going to apply there. And it's better for them to find out they don't want to come work for you before that you hire them than after you hire them. It makes a huge difference on retention, right, and so forth. Have the process be easy. Right? What is your hiring process like? If it's hard, if it's not easily accessible by mobile, you're not going to hit the next gen workforce. You're not going to lure them in, right? And you need to have the ability to share with them that technology is a big part of your organization. These are things that the next gen workforce cares about. You can block Facebook on the desktop that you're providing for them, but they're coming in to work with this in their hand. And they will have access any way that they can. So the BYOD, the bring your own device to work thing, is having a big impact on the next gen workforce, as well as flexibility and offering them opportunities to either work a different shift or to work from home, to telecommute. These are all big pushes that the next gen workforce is demanding. In how they look for a job and how they take a job, how they keep a job. And it's not just about hiring. right? At some point, we have to start thinking about the employee experience. How well are we taking care of those folks that we spent a lot of time and money to bring into the organization? Are we able to hang on to them?
And on that note, I think this is going to have to be, at best, a part two, maybe
I
more.
Told you.
We can't
you
get to all this.
You wouldn't have enough to talk about. I told you it would be way too much.
And I totally appreciate both of you joining the show today. You're so smart and insightful. And if somebody wants to follow you and what you're doing, we're going to wrap this up, but we're going to bring you back and we'll finish this discussion. There's just way too much in this space. So, Jessica, if somebody wants to follow you and find out what you're doing, maybe ask more questions about today's show, how can they do that?
Going to the blog, bloggingforjobs.com, or shooting me an email at jessica@bloggingforjobs.com, or a text message. I think my phone number's also listed, and I will respond. Just don't leave me a voicemail.
You're a sharer of information. I ditto that on the voicemail. And Ran, if somebody wants to connect with you, follow you, and
listen
to your
show. They can find me anywhere. Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, LinkedIn, Rayanne.Thorne on Skype, @Ray_Ann on Twitter, @HRLatte, @RayanneThorne, @BonusTrackDaily. I'm all over the place.
Yikes.
You can't not find me.
No kidding. You can't avoid these ladies, which is actually kind of a good thing. Thank you both for being on the show, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks, Anthony.
Anthony for the shout out.
Yay.
You know, lots of information, lots of statistics, that's easy for me to say, that we didn't get to. And I think we're going to have Patrick, our own Patrick Delahante, on the show at some point and get his insight, because he actually has a lot of feedback on the actual hiring site. So we'll get more drilled down on some of those in the future. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of Marketing Mavericks. And you know what? If you want to follow me, you can. I'm a lot easier to follow, I think, than those ladies. I don't have as big a footprint as I do. You can follow me on Twitter by going to @TanyaHallRadio, or you can find me on Facebook. I share lots of information there. I'd love to hear from you. And old school, you can email me at mavericks@twit.tv. And you know what? I actually read them and I respond. So hopefully you'll give me your feedback on what you think. Everybody, that wraps up this episode of Marketing Mavericks. Until next week, have a great day.